You know, this morning I wanted to flow on from last week's Pentecost Sunday service and Andrew's message, where he encouraged us and inspired us with the idea that God didn't just come to save us from sin and death, but he came to make himself one with us. And that Jesus' prayer in John 17 was that they would be one as you and I are one. And God, the idea that God had for us was that we would become one with him. We wouldn't just become friends with him or followers of him, but we would become one with him. We would become partakers of the divine nature. You know, and that's one of the pieces of imagery that as we come to communion today, I just wanted to reflect on. You know, both the tasting, but also the partaking of the divine nature. You know, in Mark chapter 14, when Jesus is taking communion with his disciples on the night that he was betrayed before he died the next day and was crucified, he says, the story goes in verse 22 of Mark 14, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. He broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take, this is my body. Then he took a cup of wine, or in my case, blackcurrant juice. He took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many. You know, I think his language is significant in this moment. You know, he says, this is my body, take it. This is my blood, drink it. You know, the imagery of that is that as we participate in communion, there's something incredibly powerful that takes place where we participate and we become partakers of Jesus's physical body and his blood. Now that's in today's culture, that just is really weird, but there's something powerful about the imagery of it, the symbolism of it, the supernatural idea that we are not just friends with God, but we are one with God. We are participators, we are partakers of the divine nature. And as we take communion, we are identifying with the suffering, with the death, and with the resurrection power that was shown through Jesus's life. That when we participate, we're declaring over our lives that we are partakers of the divine nature. We aren't just friends with God. We have the power of God that resides in us by the Holy Spirit, and we are one with that. And so the things that assail us, the sicknesses, the illness, the worries, the anxieties, the doubts, all of those things can be put to death through the power of God within us. That we can bring those to Jesus and say, Jesus, these are our struggles. We want to exchange them for what you have for us, which is your divine nature. God, help us to not worry. Help us to overcome anxiety. Help us to move out of what is ourselves and our flesh and into what is you and what is divine. You know, there's an incredible message for us in this communion today. And so as we participate together, that's what my prayer is for us, that we would pick a thing in our life that we're struggling with, whether it be physical illness, whether it be a mental challenge, whether it be the challenge of adjusting back into the world after lockdown and COVID and all those kinds of things, even worries about the future, that we would bring those to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is my offering to you. God, I thank you that you are giving me a divine exchange, that you're giving me your nature in return. Let's take a moment to pray and then we'll share together. Father, I thank you that we aren't just called to be your friends, but you've gone a step further than that and you've said, I want you to be a partaker of my nature. I want you to be one with me. And so God, we just welcome that. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, right now into our lives, Lord, and we just acknowledge that we need you. And God, as we take these elements of communion today, as we eat the bread and we drink the cup, the juice, God, we declare that it is your body and it is your blood. your body broken, your blood shed. And God, that those things, when we participate and we take them into ourselves, we're declaring victory over everything that assails us. We're declaring the victory of Jesus. We're partnering with you in your nature. And you have overcome the enemy. You have overcome sin. You have overcome death. And you declare over our lives resurrection power in the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that this morning. And we participate in this communion together as your family, thanking you for all you've done for us. Everyone said, amen. Let's take communion together. Jesus, we love. So good to be able to share communion together, isn't it? Just to be able to reflect on what Jesus has done for us, you know. And I wanted to continue on from that message of oneness and taking the divine nature and follow through with that on Andrew's message from last week. And I wanted to continue on with that this morning. And my topic is the power of wait. And I know over this this period of the lockdown, I've spent a bit of time waiting, and I'm sure you have too. I've had the privilege of being able to reflect, and it's been an incredibly busy time, especially the first 3 to 4 weeks as we adjusted to the new of being in lockdown, but and what all that meant for us and our role. But well, I've spent a time since then of being able to reflect and wait and allow God to speak to me, and I wanted to speak about that this morning, the power of wait. Andrew spoke a little bit about the idea that we're filled with the fullness of God last week, but there's also this idea, this challenging paradox of we're filled with the fullness, but there's still more that we need to become aware of, we need to discover, you know, that we're not fully aware of what's happening in us. And I think for me, a lot of that is found in the process of waiting. You know, when Shane spoke, he talked about the idea that wait is a normal part of a spiritual journey and following Jesus. And so I wanted to continue on and from Pentecost last week and read out of Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. And it says there, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, this is Jesus, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this idea that in the journey of the early church and the disciples, after Jesus was resurrected, he spent time speaking with them, and before he ascended to the Father, he said, you need to wait. You might have seen all that I've done in your life. You might have experienced my hand in your life. You've heard me teach and spend time with you over the last 40 days. But it's important that you wait for the gift. Wait for the gift. And the idea, as Shane said in his message a few weeks ago, waiting for the Hebrew people was not a passive thing. It was a very active term. It wasn't a sitting back and relaxing until something happens. It was an eager anticipation of something to happen. It goes very much with the idea of hope, that there's this hope that we hold and we look out for and we wait for, that we haven't fully experienced. There's this idea of anticipation, this idea of expectation, this eagerness, this barely restrained excitement. That with that comes this sense of trepidation and uncertainty, because we're not sure what it's quite going to look like when it appears. But there's this waiting. You know, we've got two dogs, and you will have heard them in some of our recordings, the barking over the last few weeks. And it's just amazing. One of the commands you teach your dogs is wait. Now, the difference between wait and stay, from my understanding, is wait is you tell them to wait and they stop there. Then you can walk away. And when you say, okay, they can run to you. Whereas stay, they stay there until you come back. And so we practice that often with our dogs. And one of the ways that we practice it is when we go to feed them at night, because we were told that part of your exerting your authority as a human being over the dog is that they need to always acquiesce to you in every situation. So food is one of the big driving forces for dogs. And so to exert your authority over the dog, you need to be able to control them at eating time. And so what we've done with our dog is when the food goes down on the ground, we expect the dog to sit and wait until we give a command to eat. And it's so incredible to watch our border collie Mika, who loves her food, when the food goes down and she's right there and her neck goes out and she's looking at her food, and you can see she just barely restrained excitement because she's looking at that food, and I want my food and I want my food and I'm waiting for the command. That's the kind of waiting. You know, there are times in that moment when I've been distracted after I've told her wait, and after a few seconds come back and she started dribbling in her excitement. You know, that's the eagerness, the anticipation, the expectation of this wait for the gift. Wait for the gift. You know, the idea of a gift, that God has a gift for us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we're to wait eagerly for. Such a huge thing. And so my question this morning is, what are you waiting for? You know, this Christian faith is a journey of wait, because we're waiting for God to reveal the next thing to us, to reveal the next area of his character, the next area of his power, the next thing that he's wanting us to experience of his goodness. You know, in Psalm chapter 27, verses 13 and 14, it says this: "Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living." Wait patiently for the Lord. The psalmist is speaking to his heart. He's saying, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. You know, if we're to see the goodness of God while we're alive, to see an expression of the fullness of who God is to us, there are times when we have to wait patiently. There are times we have to wait with an eagerness. And in that waiting, there's treasures to be found. You know, I love the fact that in this psalm, he says, as you wait patiently for the Lord, be strong and courageous, be brave, that there's strength, that there's courage, that there's bravery that comes in the process of waiting, that somehow it builds our faith as we wait and we hope with anticipation and expectation of God's goodness. You know, the easiest thing for us to do as humans is when things aren't going our way or they're not happening in the way that we like, we go to the negative so quickly. We look for the reasons, oh man, what have I done wrong? And sometimes what is actually happening is God is saying, I want you to stir yourself to wait with anticipation. Because in the waiting, I've got something to reveal to you. In the waiting, there's strength for you. In the waiting, there's courage for you. In the waiting, there's hope and there's purpose that will come. So what are you waiting for? You know, the question, what am I waiting for? What am I doing in this situation? What am I expecting from God in this situation? No matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how good it is, am I waiting on God to reveal something of his goodness, something of his greatness, something of his power to me in a fresh way? Because that's what the power of the wait is all about. You know, in the waiting, there's something building in me of excitement. You know, that idea that Jesus gave his disciples, wait for the gift from the Father that he has promised. You know, God has got so many things that he's got in store for us. He's got so many treasures for us to discover. And for us, it's the anticipation, it's the expectation, it's the continual waiting and saying, God, I'm in this situation, I'm waiting on you. I want more from you. I want you to reveal yourself in a new way to me. You know, it says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. That this is a paradox of our faith, that somehow in the anticipation and the hope for the waiting, God gives us what we need to be able to endure, to push on into all that he has for us. He wants to reveal something of what he has given us through his Holy Spirit in our lives. So let's embrace the power of the wait. Let's be people who are always anticipating something good, who are eagerly expecting God to do something new. And when we gather next week, I'm speaking that in faith with eager anticipation and expectation, let's come together with an incredible sense of excitement and expectation, because I believe that we are moving into a season where God is doing stuff new in our lives. and in us as a church and in the church in New Zealand and the church globally. Let's be excited that he's going to reveal his kingdom in new ways, that he's going to, through this season of waiting, he's been deepening something in us, he's been strengthening us, he's been giving us bravery and courage to face the next season in him and to see his hand move, to see his goodness revealed through our lives. So I bless you today to know that God is for you. He's not against you. He has given you everything you need to pursue the life that he's given you, and he's blessed you with his Holy Spirit. Grace and peace, everyone.